today on Real Radio.
God wants you and I to be confident. So I want to ask you, don't answer out loud. Are you confident in your faith? Not because you're saying, oh, yes, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. I'll repeat it 10 more. That's not faith. That's crazy. To have faith is to understand that the God of transcendency is the God that answers our questions through his word.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 3. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first church. In Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. Previously in our study, Peter was challenging us to always be ready to give an answer for our faith. There will be times when we'll be attacked simply for doing good, but this really shouldn't surprise us, and our response should come with humility and respect. People who lack the knowledge of God's word are not reading the Bible. They're reading us. It's why our lives are to emulate Christ by sharing what we believe so others will have the opportunity to receive him. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, get ready to have your conscience cleared. Our sins are washed away, and our guilt will no longer run our lives. When we invest in eternity, we're set free from the past and look forward to the future. And now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I can tell you how an airliner will fly, but what I cannot tell you is what was in the mind. Why did Boeing invent it? We can speculate. You can say because of money. They wanted to make money. But why did Mr. Boeing ever start the company in the first place? I can tell you how a company might work. I can't tell you why the founder created it. Are you with me? I can tell you a little bit about how a car works, but I can't tell you why it was in the mind of the creator. I can only speculate. In the world in which you and I live in, science, people will say today, we don't need your God because we can tell you how things work and how things exist and how things function. You know why you can tell us that? Because that's science. But science never tells us why things exist. Why are things the way that they are? Listen, I can tell you, you can tell me how to bake a cake, how to make a cake. That's the how. But you can't tell me why I baked you a cake. Why? If I gave you a cake today, you'd say, well, you wouldn't ask, how'd you make it? You know how I made it. You would ask me, why did you make me a cake? That very question demands that you get inside of an area that is non-tangible because it deals with the will, it deals with the heart, the mind, and the spirit of things. You need to remember that. This week, I began reading a book, and I'll put the title up on the screen for you. It's by Dr. Stephen Hawking, and the book is entitled Brief Answers to the Big Questions, and I got to tell you guys right now, the introduction to the book grabbed me. Remember, this is one of the smartest guys that ever lived in modern times. He's now passed away, but I want to read something to you. In light of what I just shared with you a moment ago, the how versus the why. Science tells us how things work. God tells us why things are. Stephen Hawking says, science is increasingly answering questions, listen everybody, that used to be the province of religion. Religion is what was an early attempt to answer the questions we all ask. Why are we here? Where did we come from? Okay, you guys following me? Notice the questions he's asking. He's asking, why are we here? Where did we come from? That's what he puts forth. And by the way, he attributes those questions to previously being answered by religion. The answer was almost always the same. God's made everything. The world was a scary place, so even people as tough as the Vikings believed in supernatural beings to make sense of natural phenomena like lightning, storms, or eclipses. Nowadays, science provides better and more consistent answers. Listen, answers to what? What's he asking? But people will always cling to religion because it gives comfort and they do not trust or understand science. I don't know about you. Maybe I've been up too long, too many cups of coffee, but that statement is an insult to my intelligence. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, skeptic in the house. Did you get that? He asked the questions up front. Why are we here? He never answered. Read the book. He never answers that question. The other question, where do we come from? He never answers the question. He turns right around and flips it because he goes from he asks honest questions, but he doesn't give the answer and then turns and says only religious people pursue things like this because they're basically afraid of science. Excuse me, my God invented science. My God is the God that says this is how things work and you need to stick to the laws of science because I made them, and when you study them, you will conclude things like the heavens declare the glory of God, that the human being is made in a most wonderful, miraculous way. That's what science does. It exposes the greatness of God. But the grand question still remains, why are we here? God answers that in this book. Hawking doesn't answer it in his book. What's the purpose to our existence? God answers that question here. And so we are to be equipped to give the answers. And so here we go, third and final installment, verses 16 to 17. On your mark, get set, be ready. Third, it's this, to be ready, to be confident in the faith. Christian, every one of us, mark it down, are to be confident in the faith. The Bible tells us, write it down. You're not going to see it on the screens because it just popped into my little wooden head a second ago. Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter is the chapter of the lifestyle of the righteous and faithful. All about faith. And there in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible there tells us that faith, though it be something that is very personal and tangible to hang on to, it reveals to us things that are invisible. That faith does not tell us or does not invite us to make this blind leap into insanity. The Bible's very clear about this. Our faith is founded upon a confidence that God reveals to us as believers. You and I as Christians, church, are you listening? You and I as Christians should be the most confident, and I mean that in a humble sense, most confident people on earth, the Christian. One of the most confident people you would have ever met in the world. Humble, confident, tenacious, brilliant, who loved God, who even wrote some commentaries on the Bible, none other than Sir Isaac Newton. He still today is attributed to writing one of the greatest, if not the greatest book on science. And Newton announced that his study of the laws and the understanding of greater education and the sciences led him to a greater worship in God. I love that. Confidence. You say, well, I'm not a Newton. Well, neither one of us are a Newton. But God wants you and I to be confident. So I want to ask you, don't answer out loud. Are you confident in your faith? Not because you're saying, oh, yes, yes, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. I'll repeat it 10 more. I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. That's not faith. That's crazy. To have faith is to understand that the God of transcendency is the God that answers our questions through his word. And his word, listen, his word will always agree with science. And listen, true, repeatable science, actual science will always agree with God's word. I love what I just said, and I love having confidence in it because I'm only repeating the reality of God's word and science because the author of both is the same one. Are you confident? Verse 16 says, having a good conscience. Write that down. Having a good conscience, possessing a good conscience. The first thing that we see here is that we need to put our faith to work. Faith is an action word. Having a good conscience, our conscience begins with this faith engagement. And the word having here is the word to possess. It means to have ownership of it. So listen, God's will today is for you and I to possess, to own the confidence that comes from God's word. Say, how do we do this? Somebody give me a verse that's a blessing to you. Maybe it's your life verse. Just say something. Hebrews 11:6. State it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Next verse, down to verse 8, the Bible tells us Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees following God, not knowing where he was going. Was Abraham foolish or not? Abraham didn't know where he was going, but God, the God that he is worshiping, knows. And so Abraham's following this God that has interrupted his life. And it's exactly well said in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that whimsical? Not at all. It's understanding that God says what he says and he does what he does. God has made us these great and precious promises. And the word conscience here, I'm going to ask you to break this down. It's pretty awesome, actually. The word conscience means consciousness, but hang on, it means more than that. It means a keen awareness. Listen, it means that you and I having a good conscience means that you and I have a keen awareness, a keen mindfulness as to what we possess. In other words, what is possessed in the mind? And this is something for all of us to think. What do I possess in my mind? So you release the kaleidoscope or the montage that's in your mind. What's in there? Now look, let's be honest, let's be fair. Some of you, you're a numbers guy, you're a numbers person. Maybe that's your job. Maybe you are a scientist, maybe you're an accountant. Numbers. And look, in your mind, you love numbers. That's why you have the job, that's why you have the career, that's what you do, what you do. So in your mind are numbers. But have you noticed that your numbers are often the equations, the thoughts, the planning is often along the way, there's these, as the line is, there's these little marks of thoughts of God. Have you noticed that? Are you a contractor building stuff? You love that? So you're working out, you see angles, you see, oh man, the porch should go this way. Maybe the house should face that way. The roof line should be this way. But all along the way of your living, that thing in which you have a passion for, there is sprinkled these God thoughts, right? You say, yes, Pastor, that's awesome. Listen, that's because you're a believer, and that's because the Holy Spirit is just constantly reminding you of this awareness of your mindfulness, your consciousness of God. And the Bible says having a good consciousness. What is this? An approving conscience. The word good is that God, it's approved before God. It's a good one. You're not crippled by a nasty or dark consciousness. So the Bible here tells us that our confidence is in the fact that our conscience is clear. This is a big deal. Look, I don't know if all of you are Christians or not, but you listen up. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. I need to tell you something right now. One of the most profound effects of accepting Jesus Christ in my life was a near immediate relief of a guilty conscience. When I accepted Christ, my conscience was lifted. I don't know how to tell you this. I can't even explain it to you. There's no drug that can do it. You know what? Now that I say that, maybe drugs do it. I never did drugs, so I'm just telling you. But what about drinking? Maybe you drink to hide yourself from reality. Maybe you're drinking and hiding from reality is because of a dark conscience. I'm not faulting you. I'm saying, dude, dudette, you don't have to do that anymore. I have good news for you. You don't have to do that anymore. When you come to Jesus, he transforms your consciousness. He makes you new. It's absolutely awesome. And so that faith that you and I have as believers, it's a real viable faith, and it's a faith that is confident. It's the knowing. But the word in our English, of course, the word conscience, it comes from two Latin compound words, con, which means with, and then the word socio, which means knowledge. It means this, that you and I possess ourselves with a knowledge, with a possession of what is knowable. The Christian knows what it is that they believe and why they believe it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. This translation of 1 Timothy 4, 8 says, now listen, everybody, we can all agree with this. It says, physical training is good. Did you know that? It's good. None of us want to hear it, but it's good. The more you walk, the better it is for you. The more you do what, it's better. It's better for you. Keep active. No doubt about it. Bible says it's good. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Isn't that great? Nobody buries anybody with a pair of dumbbells in the coffin. I mean, it just ain't gonna happen. Well, he looks so nice. Look, he looks great, doesn't he? He's dead. But listen, so we can work out in this world and we can be healthy and that's fine. But, and the Bible doesn't put it down. But the Bible says what's more important is that you work your soul out. You put your soul to work. You put your spirit to work. Why? Because it builds a confidence that is not only for today. Oh, yesterday I was on the phone talking to Christy as she's standing alongside the bed of her dear 12-year-old. As they're praying and fighting and hanging in there. And I told Christy, I said, Christy, I want to tell you something. And I don't want you to ever forget this. You need to make sure that you're reading to Brinkley, be reading out loud, get praise music. You need to be sitting down. And I'm going to tell you, start today, read out loud right next to her ear. Start in Psalm 1 and go all the way through the Psalms. And then when you get done, just do it. I don't care if it's 10 verses a day. I don't care if it's 10 chapters a day. Just do it. And I said, I'm going to tell you why. So Christy, don't miss it. Here's the why. Only Brinkley's body has cancer. And Christy said, what did you say? I said, only Brinkley's body has cancer. So keep feeding her soul. Keep feeding her spirit. Inside of her is the Brinkley you love. She's in there. The body's perishing, but inside she's healthy. She's fine. The spirit and the soul of Brinkley is inside. Feed her spirit. And church, that's true for all of us. The confidence that when you give God's word to yourself or to others, what it does to somebody. Isn't it amazing? Paul the apostle was condemned to death in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's condemned to death and he says, oh, please, when you come to visit me, bring the parchments. What is that? Bring the copies of the Old Testament. I'm condemned to death. Isn't that an amazing thing? What does it mean? It means that you're getting your soul ready. Paul didn't say, hey, when you come and visit me in Rome, bring some cards, bring some dice, bring a six pack. He understood his body was about ready to die in this world. So what does he do? He invests in that which lasts forever. By the way, Christians, we can do this in everything of our lives. We can do it with the things that we own. We can do it with money. We can do it with time. We can live and do here and now, but always with a consciousness of eternity. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. A consciousness that works, a faith that works. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. This is an awesome verse. In fact, can you guys, I wrote down in my notes, let's have some group participation here. So what do I mean by that? And when I point to you, you're going to have to look at me. When I point to you, answer this way. Say, I know this. Let's try it on the count of three. One, two, three.
I know this.
Okay, you ready? Watch my hand. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You're getting weak. You need to say it louder, people. Come on. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is exactly how we get confidence in God's word in our lives. When we read verses like that, by the way, that is an awesome passage of scripture. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14, incredibly powerful. You need to be able to say when you read the Bible, I know this. Notice what I'm telling you. You don't say, I feel it. And he died to redeem us. I feel it. No, you don't. Come on, let's exactly, Randy, I heard you. He said, I know it. That's faith in action. Things like this happen. Well, you know what? Well, I feel miserable. Watch. But I know. Are you with me?
Yes.
We need to hear this. Confidence in God's word, confidence in what he has said to us, that when we feel something is irrelevant, because I know. My feeling screams, yells, and dictates one thing. Faith is confidence in what God has said. And we surrender to him. It means that our conscience is clear. In Psalm 118, verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord is on my side. That's a remarkable statement, isn't it? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear, says the psalmist. What can man do to me? Now, look, that's the Bible, and I understand what the psalmist is saying. The Lord is on my side. I'd much rather say what Ronald Reagan said. Remember, anybody remember what Reagan said? I'll come close to quoting it verbatim, but it's something to this effect. Ronald Reagan was saying about, you know, we keep talking about getting God on our side, getting God on our side. He said, we need to stop asking God to get on our side. Ronald Reagan said, we need to get on God's side. And that's a great thing. You get on God's side and you can be confident. With all that's going on. I have confidence in God. So do you. Do you have confidence in men? Wow, the women all said no. The men sat silent. I didn't mean men and male, female. I just meant mankind. Gee whiz. All the women said, no. No, mankind, listen, it's not good the day that we trust in man. It's not good. We can trust in God. He'll never let us down.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, with part three of his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready. Thanks for joining us today. And when your life is in the Lord's hands, you truly can be ready for anything. On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, one thing we've learned through Peter's writings is how much God really loves us and how much he wants to have a close personal relationship with all of us who've made him the Lord of our lives. That's why it's so important to start the day with prayer and a verse from Scripture. It's also why Pastor Jack has devotions right there at his website that you can tap into. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a specific verse from the Bible and a personal story from Pastor Jack that relates to that verse. There's a new one each week, along with previous devotions for daily inspiration. Again, you'll find devotions on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or right there on our Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access anytime, anywhere. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.